What were some of the things that were especially hard on me? And how can I go into tomorrow with a better attitude? Being intentional about the way that you structure your thoughts is so vital to us as humans. I will say, go be strong. Go work on yourself. This is how I like my body to look. I like feeling strong. I like feeling the way it's moved. I enjoyed that.
If the pain of the current reality is greater than your fear of the future, then you need to change.
For this episode, I sat down with Chantel. Chantel is an avid gym goer like myself and has fallen in love with training over the past 2 years. Chantel is somebody who I believe many people can take away valuable life lessons from, and she's also somebody who has quite a bright future ahead of herself. In this episode, we talk about the struggle in starting one's fitness journey, the dark side of comparing oneself to others, and the ways in which you can overcome your internal conflict to become the best version of yourself. This is the fourth episode of the Longevity Podcast. I'm glad you're here, and I know you enjoy listening. I'm your host, Macaulay Tomdio. Yeah, your dad and friends are gonna send you texts about this episode.
I did tell them that I was going on a podcast today, and they were like, "That is so cool." And they're like, "Is he famous?" I was like, "He's probably gonna be. I'm not gonna lie."
We've known each other for how long now? A year?
It's been a good year, yeah.
About coming on a year, And one thing that we have in common is that we train, I want to say, intensely.
I'd say we do, yes.
How old are you?
I'm 19.
And how long have you been training for?
Consistently for a little over a year.
And now you're absolutely... Is jacked the right word?
I'll take jacked, yes.
Fit. You know, yes. How it goes. I remember we had a workout together at Crunch, and you had showed me your picture from 2 years ago.
Yep, in June of 2022.
And... to put it simply, you do not look the same. There has been a drastic change.
Yes.
Can I ask how much you weighed?
Yes. Then? During that time, I was 182 pounds. Mm-hmm. That was the heaviest that I had ever been in my life.
And now how much do you weigh?
At the end of my cutting phase, in November, I weighed 118 pounds.
Wow.
At the peak of my bulking phase, I weighed 139. And currently... back into a cutting slash maintenance phase now.
Congrats on that. That is a major accomplishment.
It is.
Building strength, losing weight, and just training consistently for that long is absolutely insane.
It's hard. There's not a lot of people that can stick with that for as consistently as I did.
What would you say took you from that area of your life to where you currently are?
I think a lot of it at first was fueled by this need to be accepted. When I first came to school at UF in June, I was obviously a completely different person, but I didn't know who I was. And so my first time away from home, trying to deal with all of the pressures of academics and wanting people to accept me for who I was. But I still didn't know who I was. So I was this constant battle of being unhappy with what I saw when I looked in the mirror, who I was, and comparing myself to almost everybody that I saw. There was some physical attribute that I would measure myself to. And so for a while, my motivation was the unhappiness that I felt when I looked in the mirror, the uncomfortability in my own skin. Now, I didn't necessarily do it all the right way at first, but that came with trial and error.
What do you mean?
In my personal experience, I wanted a quick fix solution. Anyone in the fitness industry that has worked out consistently and knows about nutrition knows that it's not a fast process. It takes time. It takes dedication. It takes consistency.
Definitely does.
I wanted to see results overnight. And I started going through a cycle where I would eat like I normally had been, but maybe once or twice a week, I would feel really guilty about what I had eaten and expel it from my body. And once or twice every 2 weeks turned into once a week, turned into a couple times, then it was once a day, then it became every meal, to the point where I was so tired of this constant internal battle that my philosophy was, I don't have to expel it if I just don't eat it. So I had developed at that point an eating disorder, and this was in September of 2022, I think the worst of it was. And so for those following 2 months, I had restricted myself of all of the good, yummy things that we need to fuel our bodies in order to pursue a physique that I thought I wanted.
Which was?
To look small. To be like every other person that I had perceived walking down the street as this skinny person. That's what I wanted, or I thought I wanted.
Can I ask why you thought you wanted that in the first place? What would you say influenced that standard for you?
I think I had always been a heavier set girl, and I feel like I was always treated differently. I had friends who were absolutely gorgeous, perfect, petite, or a perception of perfect and petite. And I had wanted to be treated in that way. I was looking for something to fill the void that I had. I was unhappy with myself, and in turn, I thought that if I could look like these other girls, I'd be happy too. And it wasn't until I'd come back from Christmas break my freshman year into the start of my spring semester that my friend said, okay, let's go to the gym. She said, but in order for you to go to the gym, you have to eat something before we go or after. You have to pick one of those times. So for a while, my only motivation to eat food was that I could burn it off at the gym. And at least it introduced me to like liquid calories. I would do smoothies, but it introduced me to food again. And then I started seeing muscle grow, right?
As one does when they go to the
looking,
gym.
Looking back at it now, boy, it makes me excited. But it was like, wait, this is how I like my body to look. I like feeling strong. I like feeling the weights move. I enjoyed that. And I was like, okay, I'm not recovering, obviously, as fast because I had no idea about micronutrients, macronutrients, what I needed to eat, the protein that I needed to consume. And so that really jump-started my personal research. What is protein? why do I need to, how much of it do I need to eat? What's this thing called healthy fats? Before, I just ate whatever was in front of me. Whatever my dad cooked for dinner, we ate. Whatever was fixed in the morning, bowl of cereal, it didn't matter. Just ate it. Learning about this concept of nutrition helped gauge, okay, this is my goal. This is what I want to look like. This is how I get there, and this is how I feel my body and feel my best to get there. And so that's really when I started to transform my mindset and my physique to the point where it was in August of 2023, at the end of my cut.
You describe a situation which I think many people are facing. You had a friend who had influenced you to go to the gym. But a lot of people have the problem where they can't even start. And even when they do start, it's hard for them to keep on going. Did you have the same friend around that dragged you to the gym every single time?
Every day.
You guys went as every training day. Buddies?
Yes. I had spent a lot of time with two of my closest friends. My friend Maddie is the one that actually really got me into the gym. But I had spent...
Matthew was the one who'd convince you to eat.
Yes.
And then go train.
And Lauren...
Shout out Maddie.
Shout out Maddie.
We all need friends. Before you continue, we all need friends like this. So if you're listening, if you're that person, just reach out to someone. Because it clearly did for you, right? It changed your life.
They saved my life.
You have people who move you to do different things. And it might not seem as though, because I think people have this idea where they don't believe they have influence necessarily because they're not famous. But everything that you do, people see it and it has an effect on them. But right. Go on.
No, of course. And I completely agree with that. I feel like sometimes we get so scared to speak up, or we get so scared to push the people that we love, because we're afraid of how they're going to react to that. But in my case, both of them, Maddie and Lauren, they pushed me to be the better version of myself. They pushed me to heal. I attribute a lot of that starting point and a lot of my recovery to them. But yeah, Maddie, she went with me every day. It was me, her, and her boyfriend. And we had done it every single day for months. And then our schedules started having some interference. And we couldn't go with each other. But at that point, I was independent enough that I loved what I was seeing. And I wanted more. I craved more. And...
You get one taste, you can't get enough.
Man, I will tell you, I make it a point every single morning. The first thing I do is eat an English muffin and go hit the gym.
Yep.
Get some good digestive carbs, some honey, some salt.
And go pump some iron.
It really does set the tone for your day.
It does.
Moving your body, getting your blood flowing. There is just... In my opinion, there's no better feeling. Mm. That is my favorite place, as weird as it sounds. And it saved my life. I really was at the point where if I didn't make a change, I would have ended up in the hospital. Mm. It was that serious for me.
Can I ask how hard it was for Maddie to convince you to make that change? How long did that take? Because you had simply said it in a sentence, but realistically, it probably took months.
I think my biggest battle wasn't necessarily going to the gym, but it was the eating that surrounded it. That was really my biggest battle. For a long time, I wanted to just go to the gym and not eat anything, or I wouldn't eat anything the whole day, work out, and then have a smoothie. But going to the gym, moving my body, getting that blood flow, it made me hungry. And I had suppressed my hunger cues and ignored them. My voice in my head was louder than my body. And so it was the first time that I feel like my body was being heard. And I liked what I was seeing because I was at a point of almost skinny fat back in December of 2022, going into the start of the spring semester. And I saw my body transforming with that. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it was easy to go once I started seeing a change.
Do you think that is a problem that a lot of women and men face currently in terms of how they perceive their body and the bodies of others?
I would say that is an issue that everybody, to some extent, faces. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't have to be that extreme to the point where a hospitalization or either starving or purging, it doesn't have to get to that point. But I think that everybody compares themselves to some extent, whether it's just physical attributes or a whole body comparison. And I think for a lot of young people who look on social media and wonder, why don't I look like that? It's not just women, it's men too. I talk to a lot of people in the fitness community working at a gym. I see, you know, these young men who are natural with their physique and who have worked so hard to achieve a physique that you can't get unless you are on 5 different steroids. They're not natural. And yet they look amazing. They look in the mirror and they don't see that same thing. I feel like a lot of people who go to the gym face some sort of body dysmorphia. It's almost a joke that, you know, we're never happy with our physique. That's why we keep going back and going back.
You have a gym lifting page. Mm-hmm. What do you have to say to people who are going to look at your pictures as fit as you are and compare themselves to you?
Right. I think my biggest message is just to send out transparency through my journey. Yes, I did lose a lot of weight, but I lost it very quickly and I did not do it the right way. If I could go back and change the way that I lost that weight, I would. And not everything that you see on social media is reality. And of course, every influencer is going to try to get the best angle, the best lighting. That's why some of my posts, I literally am just in the bathroom mirror, like at Crunch, and the full lighting. And not every picture that we take, most influencers, I'd say, are after a workout or while they're pumped or in really good lighting and they're flexed. But just seeing that transparency in the fitness community and representing a generation of powerful women. Yeah. I want young women to look at me and say, wow, she's really cool. I want to be like her. Because, yeah, I've been through a lot of life at the ripe age of 19. I've been through more than what most adults have been through in their life. And if I can save even one person from experiencing even a quarter of the pain that I've been through, I will do it. I will say, go and be strong. Go work on yourself. And that has to do with fitness and in general in life. I try to take my experiences and pour into every person that I can. And so I try to take that philosophy and apply that to fitness. I just do what I can. I'm just a girl.
But that's absolutely amazing. Same thing here. There are multitudes to which we could analyze it, but at the core of it, it's very simple. A lot of people ask me why I started a podcast, and it's essentially the same reason. On a previous episode, I said I've laid upon myself the responsibility of trying to just make the world a better place, as cliche as it sounds. Mm-hmm. But I think last I checked, it was like 61. To the 61 subscribers who are listening to this, I believe it or not, I do have an influence on them. That's enough for me. I don't necessarily need... A lot of people have been telling me, yo, your podcast is going to blow up. And although I believe that to be true, I've tried to disconnect myself from that idea of, oh, it's going to blow up, so I need to cater my message in a certain way. It's just speaking the truth, like you said. Even if it ends up being one, it's completely okay.
You bring a level of honesty that a lot of times we see missing in this world. People are so consumed with what they are doing, their lives, and there's nothing wrong with that per se, and healthy balance, but a lot of times we forget to invest ourselves into others. We are all here trying to accomplish the same goal and just be happy. And I don't know, I feel like we should just support each other in reaching that same goal. So it's like you said, as much as I can pour into somebody else, I will do that in a heartbeat. As much as I can help somebody else, I'll do that in a heartbeat.
Do you feel like your attitude towards the gym has changed ever since you started going and where you are now?
I think that it's definitely gone through some highs and lows. I had a problem with over-exercising at first. There were days where I literally went to the gym once in the morning and then again in the afternoon.
2 days?
Oh, yeah. 2 times a day. A couple days of the week for hours. There was one time I spent 6 hours at the gym exercising, lifting weights, doing cardio. Yes. Am I proud of that? No.
Why did you do that?
A lot of times when you are recovering from an eating disorder and you feel like you ate, quote unquote, too much, you'll try to, at least from my experience, burn more calories than you ate. And so that means doing an extensive amount of cardio that is completely unnecessary. And a lot of that was before I knew more about the human body, what actually happens when you're resting and that recovery process, all of that good stuff. Recovery is good. Taking those rest days to let your body heal is good. I didn't know that before. Being at the gym until 1 a.m., 2 a.m., going really late at night, trading sleep for exercise, I went into this relationship of, I almost have to be there. It's not like a choice at this point. It's not that I'm excited to go. It's just that I'm there.
Would you say it was your new way of getting it out?
In hindsight, yeah, that was another way to cope with it. At the same time, that's calories just going out. In my mind, it was either purging or it was working it out. And the recovery process for me, it wasn't linear. I still have days where some days are harder for whatever that case may be. But overall, it's an upward progression. And I think that my relationship now with the gym is something that I can go and decompress and get ready for my day. And if I miss it because I've got a lot of schoolwork or I've got work later on that afternoon, I don't feel like my world's going to end. I'm okay with that. For a while, I wouldn't take a rest day. I would work out 3 weeks straight and lift heavy. I'm somebody that I followed the push-pull, leg split, repeat on cycle, lifted very heavy.
How heavy are we talking? For shoulder press, for example.
Shoulder press now?
No, back then.
Back then.
When you used to lift as heavy as the heavy weight.
Yeah, heavy for somebody that didn't eat and that was just getting into the gym. I was anywhere from like 20 to 25 pounds on a dumbbell shoulder press. And that was heavy for me. And you got to think I'm also not fueling my body properly.
And you're not resting.
Exactly. Not resting. Go like a couple times, maybe a day. Depends on the day. And then extensive cardio. And so I really took the wrong approach at first. And I think that I'm the type of person that needed to go through everything I went through in order to be where I am today. I wish I could take the pain away that I felt, but it was almost like a lesson learned type of thing. I've always been a hard-headed child. Nobody could tell me that something bad was going to happen to me if I did something. I needed to learn that myself.
Your experience.
Always a hard-headed kid, yes.
But don't you think that pain was necessary? You said you would take it away. But don't you think it was necessary?
I think that it was necessary. I just wish I could take some of the pain away. I just wish it didn't hurt me so bad. And I think that's my heart and my mind conflicting, because realistically, I wouldn't go back and change it. If you told me I could go back today and erase everything that happened and rewrite the story, I would still be 180-something pounds. All of the pain was necessary. Now, I do wish that I didn't have to go through it, though. As somebody who has been through enough in her life, that was probably one less thing that I wanted to worry about. And during that time, my mom was battling breast cancer during that main weight loss. And there were other things that required my attention. Not thinking about my next meal every single minute of every day. So in that sense, sucks, yes. But it was necessary. Because I would not have learned.
What does your split look like now?
Now I follow I do back first, chest and arms. No. Chest. Sorry. So now.
What do you hit now?
Now I go. I start with back the first of my week. Then I do chest and shoulders. Then I have just an arms day for buys and tries. And then I do legs.
Okay.
And then I just repeat that cycle. Take a rest day when I need.
Do you think that's going to transform in the future? Do you have fitness goals? Do you think you're going to transition to CrossFit or pick up a new sport? How is your progression looking like?
So right now, I'm actually training for the Savage Race in April. That's going to be in Gainesville.
You told me about that.
So I'm doing a lot of bodyweight movements. I guess you could say like more of like the CrossFit style training.
Compound exercises.
I'd say pretty much the only compound movements that I really do, though, is a barbell bench press, hack squat, I'd consider a compound, RDLs, and bent over rows. I've incorporated some dead hangs, some pull-ups. Crunch has this like monkey bar thing.
Yeah.
Going back and forth on my back days, strengthening my grip, all of that good stuff, and then doing some form of cardio every day. Okay. So whether that's sprint intervals or if that's just a light jog for endurance. Very nice.
So it's an all-rounded focus on different parts of your body and execution.
Definitely more of training for power behind my movements. So more of a HIIT training.
Yes.
But I'm excited for it. I will say my favorite style of training is just a traditional
thing.
Lifting.
Yeah.
I've never been a huge fan of cardio. I'll get my steps in if I have to.
Be careful. You got a whole cardio community listening to you.
Oh, sorry, guys. I like the heavy stuff. I don't like to run around in circles. No, I mean, there's nothing wrong with cardio. And I know, a lot of, your big lifters will be like, oh, I don't do cardio. Who does cardio? Mm. There's nothing wrong with it. If that's your style of training, that's your style of training. I personally just huff and puff every time I do it. So obviously I need some endurance practice, but yeah.
Can you describe to me what that Savage race is going to look like? So how long is it and what is in between?
Right. So the race itself is anywhere from 3 to 5 miles. And in that span, there's... Gosh, I don't even know how many exactly, but there's a lot of obstacles. So think like the Spartan race. Mm-hmm. With the obstacles, there's some rope climbs, there's some army crawls in the mud, all that good stuff. You can skip exercises, so you can choose what exactly you do, or you can run the full race. Some people compete and they follow the organization as they go to different states and towns, and you can get different completion levels. I've never personally ran it, but my close friend Lauren has. She's done it a couple times in different cities, and it's going to be a good time. I honestly don't know if I will do the full 5 miles. It really just depends on how fatigued my body is and how much I can take. I really just want to do it for fun, just to say that I did. I feel like I started training a little bit late for it, but...
How long was that? How long have you been training out for this race?
Really seriously training out? I started maybe a week ago.
Okay.
Because I was still finishing up my winter bulk.
Okay.
And then...
So you're bulking and training. You had finished up your bulking and you had immediately started training for a 3 to 5 mile race filled with obstacle courses. That's the perfect concoction for madness.
I ended up ending my bulk early to start training for the race because... Although I love the strength that I've gained recently, it is harder to have that same agility that I did have. And I'm thinking cutting just a couple pounds of body fat, I'm not in that much of a calorie deficit at the moment.
Okay.
But I am in one, just to cut back a little bit. Still consuming 150 grams of protein a day, making sure I get my healthy fats, and I try to focus a little bit more on fats than I do carbs. But at the end of the day, I don't have any real restrictions in my diet. As long as I'm in my deficit and hitting my protein, I'm good. So with that calorie deficit and the increased cardio that I have been doing lately, whether that just be walking around a grocery store for a while, or going to a trail just to walk that, going on a small run on the treadmill after my lift, just doing it here and there, and then more of those body weight movements.
I remember you told me you go on evening walks.
Mm-hmm.
But before I dig deeper into the evening walks, I have an interesting question there. But what do your foods look like now? What are you eating?
Right.
So, in a day?
Yeah.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I'm pretty consistent every day, especially during a cutting phase. So in the morning, I have an English muffin. Mm. I have about 20 grams of honey. I have about a tablespoon of pink Himalayan sea salt. And I do a banana. Sometimes I'll have some Catalina Crunch cereal if it's a heavy day like legs or chest. I feel like I go a little bit heavier on those days, so I'll incorporate some cereal there. roughly 400 to 450 calories for breakfast and a good maybe 20 grams of protein. But of course, that meal is more carb focused and sugars for a better breakdown of that. Then post-workout slash lunch is normally 150 grams of ground beef and 2 whole eggs.
Okay.
Over easy, break up the yolks in the ground beef. It is so good every time. A good snack, maybe an apple and a protein bar in the day. If I'm more hungry, I really like snacking on snap peas. And then I have the same dinner every single night. It is 5 ounces of 99.1 lean ground turkey, 2 low-carb tortillas, and then for like my sides, I do some celery, some carrots, and an apple. And it is not only really satiating, but I genuinely look forward to that meal every single night. I did in my cut from, I ate that same exact thing from March of 2023 to really September of 2023. Every single night. There was hardly, I maybe went out to dinner once or twice. But I genuinely enjoyed that meal.
How late do you have your last meal?
I try to eat around 6.
And when do you go to bed?
It depends on the workload. I do try to go to bed around 10.
Okay.
If I'm up any later and if I'm already at my calories for the day, I'll maybe have like tea and just try to relax my body. And normally that does good with me. But I end the day, I feel like a lot of it is finding foods that you enjoy eating and that make you feel satiated to stay in the deficit. Like for me, I'm a volume eater. And so eating fruits and veggies like that, that's why my side is two veggies and an apple. Because not only do I like those things, but I can eat more of those and it'll make me satiated. And then I get, that's a good 350 calorie dinner for upwards of 45 to 50 grams of protein.
Now about the evening walks, I was talking with Eli and same thing with Daniel and Aiden that started a supplement company. I had mentioned to them journaling and meditation. Eli had started meditating for about a week and a half prior to our recording after I mentioned it to him the week prior. And so he's been seeing some incredible benefits. He shared it on and off the podcast. Same thing with Aiden. Aiden had been journaling for quite a long time during the initiation of their company and up to now. And I have been meditating and journaling for 2.5 years now. The reason I talk about this is because you had mentioned your evening walks. Mm-hmm. And that's the closest thing I can think of to meditation and journaling for you. Do you use that as a reflective time period during your day?
I really do enjoy just turning some music on and just walking. And I will replay the events of my day. I will say I do also journal.
You do?
I do. I actually started journaling maybe about 4 months ago.
Okay. Consistently?
Pretty much.
Every night?
Every other night.
Okay.
On days that are especially harder, I try to come up with a different prompt and shift my focus of the day. But I find myself journaling a lot in the morning. So while I'm eating breakfast, I might write down some like positive affirmations that I choose to go through my day and the kind of my end of day. And that's my time to be with myself in my head and personally reflect on what were some of the things that I was able to accomplish today? What were some of the things that were especially hard on me? And how can I go in tomorrow with a better attitude?
Has that been working for you?
I think that it has, especially because I had been in a darker place than normal recently. Mm-hmm. And it was because I had stopped reflecting like I used to. I was just going through the motions of every day, getting up, go to the gym, do work, eat dinner, go to bed. Really nothing to refuel myself mentally and recharge my headspace, I guess you could say. And recently I'd gotten back into it a good maybe 2-3 weeks ago. And I do notice a big difference with myself when I ground myself in that way. I think my walks are so grounding. And being intentional about the way that you structure your thoughts is so vital to us as humans. Because a lot of times we will go on an autopilot mode, just do the things that we know that we have to do, and never show mindfulness. And that is essential. Being mindful, being intentional about the way that we think, the way that we act, the way that we go through life in general. There's no way to live without it. There's no good way, would be my opinion.
Do you think that the mindfulness of most people around us is something that is constantly deteriorating?
It's so easy to mindlessly scroll on TikTok, on social media for hours and not have a single thought that belongs to yourself. I mean, really think about if you are just sitting there on Instagram scrolling, you might laugh at a couple of things, but had you had one original organic thought during that entire time?
No.
No. And how do you expect to grow as a person and fuel your well-being if you aren't being intentional in your growth? A lot of times people say, oh yeah, I'm going to recharge for the night. And their recharging is, and listen, I'm not here to judge people, but their recharging is laying in bed and scrolling on their phone for a good couple hours. If that works for them, that works for them. For me, I need to do something that encourages intentional thought and mindfulness. Because if I sit there and scroll and not think for myself and not have any organic thoughts or feelings, that's going to send me into a really dark place. And that's where I was for a while up until I started reflecting on my walks again.
Yeah. What are some signs that you would share with people to look out for to avoid getting into that repetitive cycle of just going through the day-to-day and avoiding being intentional and mindful? Two signs to look out for.
The first thing that you do when you open your eyes is grab your phone. That's number one. When the first thing that you do before you even get out of bed, before you even yawn or stretch, is open your eyes and reach over and grab that phone and start looking at it, it's a sign that you need to have a change.
What's sign number two?
I'd say the second sign would be when you are tired of the mundane and you feel like your life is in this cycle of a never-ending get up, work, school, go to bed, when you feel like you're stuck in a hamster wheel, take a step back and evaluate the actions that you're doing in your day. Because for me, that was my biggest indicator that I needed to start practicing my mindfulness again. Because for so long, I didn't feel like that.
Yeah.
I was happy and excited and had organic thoughts and relationships. I looked forward to everything.
Yeah.
And then I found myself in a place of, holy crap, yeah, I really just spent 4 hours scrolling on Instagram. I do it too. Yeah. I'm absolutely not perfect.
Who is? God. It's an illusion. God certainly is.
He's the only one. Yeah. I always try to have the mentality that we as humans are perfectly imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. We're not meant to be perfect. We're not meant to be that. But it's, do we try? Do we at least put in the effort?
I think that's wordy, trying to reach, because being perfect is unattainable. But trying puts you on a constant trajectory of improvement. So you said the first sign that you need to make a change is if you immediately grab your phone. Second sign is if you're just tired of the mundane, tired of the day-to-day. And I thought of a quote that reminds me of that. It's, if the pain of the current reality is greater than your fear of the future, then you need to change. What is one message that you want to share with the world?
Don't compare yourself to every person that you see. Be so uniquely you, unapologetically you, and that will be the best version of yourself. Don't try to strive for the perfect version of you when the perfect version of you is the rawest form of you. And that's not going to look pretty, but that's going to be you.
Thank you, Chantel. It's great having you on.
Thank you. This was a blast.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to share with friends and family who you think might enjoy it as well. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to receive notifications whenever there is a new episode.